Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
And number one is that news. Surprising news about the Royals and their starting pitcher tonight as they open up a four-game series in Minneapolis, trying to build off that win against Cincinnati. Ian Kennedy does get the start tonight as the opener. So what, two innings, ideally, is what you're looking at.
About two, yeah.
And then Jacob Junis, who was the original starter, he will come in after that. And, you know, based off of what Mike Matheny, you know, said just the other day on Fesco in the Morning, it sounded like he knew they had to get some mechanical tweaks, but mainly some confidence up first and foremost.
Get him in a game.
When we were talking about Ian Kennedy earlier in the show, even, we were saying low leverage situations, although the low leverage situation he was in the other night, he gave up the back-to-back home runs. This is another way to do it. Surprising that this is the approach they're taking, but again, to this point in time, the moves that Mike Matheny has made, whether it's with the lineup, pinch hitting, deciding who gets the eighth inning, seventh inning, he's been pretty close to 99% on this kind of stuff, if not all the way at 100% on some of these moves. So we'll see if this maybe does the trick there and gets some confidence up. Interesting approach.
See if his golden touch continues.
Yeah.
Mike Matheny's early part of the season. Next up for What's Trending, a story from the Wall Street Journal reporting the minority owners of the Washington football team are pressuring Dan Snyder to sell. He's been the majority owner since 1999. There's been some longstanding culture of sexual harassment in there, and obviously people have been very mad about the whole naming team rights issue. But apparently, they're trying to force him out, which is not surprising. He claims that that's where some of these rumors around the organizations come from. Minority owners paying people essentially to tell rumors. Shocking! Even when they're doing the right things, like changing their name to the Washington football team, for now, they're still doing all the wrong things inside the organization. Not stunned the minority owners want him out. I imagine there are a lot of regular owners that wouldn't mind Snyder out as well. But man, it takes a lot to kick an owner out of the league. As we saw from Jerry Richardson, it takes a lot more than the stuff and the smoke around Dan Snyder right now.
There were the rumblings prior to the big bombshell report and the changing of the nickname and everything, that there was some of these owners already trying to sell their shares at that point in time. So, yeah,
they're not really trying to sell it. They're trying to push them out so they can buy more.
Yeah, so that's the only difference at this point is now they're like, well, maybe we can't create some momentum to do this. I don't think he's going to be forced to sell the team. To me, we were already like the real intense pressure was two or three weeks ago. I think he kind of survived that. I don't see this being changed here getting closer to the start of the season. Next up on What's Trending is the news from Andy Reid today that Frank Clark did not practice. It is a stomach virus. Also, Bo Pete Keys dealing with a orbital fracture, but that sounded like it's something that maybe has been known throughout this offseason, so maybe not something brand new, but Frank Clark, the stomach virus thing is something that popped up last year, and then you had the neck deal. The stomach
virus is something he's
just, sounds like the stomach virus is something that he's just has to live with. I mean, it sounds like he has dealt with for a long, long time. Other than that, good news on the injury front there, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting work with the ones, not surprising as well. I heard from Andy Reid say that.
Woo! Next up on What's Trending, well, the Cardinals. They're not playing tonight, but they're supposed to start tomorrow. Remember, they've only played five games. There's been an update on their schedule, Gold. Prepare yourself for this. What's the date? It's August 14th, Serta? August 14th, you say.
Uh-huh.
The Cardinals will play 21 games in the rest of August, including four doubleheaders, and 32 games in September, including seven doubleheaders. according to their most recently released schedule.
Wow.
They have to play 11 doubleheaders in the next 6 weeks.
That's incredible.
Four doubleheaders this month, including 21 games. Seven more. Oh.
They should just quit.
Oh, my God. I just lay down.
That's incredible. But at least they're, at this point, at least they're trying to get these games in, because I was about to the point
get them
where.
To 58, by the way. They'd be too short of everyone's 60.
If they actually accomplish that, then I'm cool with the 58 instead of the 60. I don't.
Let that one go.
That's
sure.
Assuming that there's also no weather delays or any. That the weather is perfect in St. Louis for the next month and a half. That the weather's perfect in any other city they go.
Or
they're
not
playing 58.
Don't get COVID again like they have multiple times.
Don't go to the casino. Stay in the hotel.
I got a whole other thing with Plezak later. Can we please play that audio later?
Oh,
because
for sure.
I'm still bothered by him.
Yeah, well, it's your fault. I mean, according to Plezak, it's our fault. So. Not his.
We're too mean, sir. Yeah. We're too mean to guys like Zach Plezak.
Yeah. Of course, that's talking about the Indians, but still, yes, same deal. Next up on What's Trending, we know there's been player opt-outs. No reason to believe that you wouldn't have officials also doing the same if they so choose, and that's what we've seen news today from the NFL. Five game officials and two replay officials have taken 2022 opt-outs for this upcoming season. And so, we know, you can say, why do I care? Well, we criticized the officiating already, and now you're...
Remember that 1 week we had replacement officials? It was more than 1 week.
Yeah. Oh, we all remember the Seahawks and Packers game, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
And the one guy signaling touchdown, the other signaling incomplete. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's an all-time photo. You notice the next day, they magically got an agreement done with the officials. So, yeah, I mean, this could impact, if you look at officiating that's already suspect in the National Football League at times. Something to keep an eye on right now. Five game officials have opted out.
You think the NFL officiating is suspect? How?
I know. Shocking.
How dare you?
Shocking.
Not now. The Chiefs are good. So now officiating is everybody else's problem and not necessarily. So you got to you got to learn how this game is played. That's how this game is played. Once you're on top, it's pretty hard for the officiating to hurt you too much because you're so good. So you don't even have to worry about it. Lastly, for What's Trending, an update on the Chiefs Super Bowl rings. If you're curious, how about that? The pandemic has kept the Chiefs from having their traditional ring ceremony. According to sources over Pro Football Talk, they have soon to finalize their plans in handing out their championship rings, although nothing yet. According to the source, opening night hardware might be the case, but probably won't happen there. Usually the players would have their rings by June, but apparently going to be pushed past the opening game of the season for the Chiefs to get the rings. Aren't you a little bit curious? I know that's one of those things that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, and we'll spend far too much on the show talking about if we like the way they look or not.
Well, fans will get a chance to buy those replica rings.
Come on, it is kind of like...
Hey, we went through this with the Royals.
I have a photo of me wearing somebody's World Series ring. I would like a chance of a photo of wearing someone's Super Bowl ring. It's been kind of a lame delay.
Yeah, we went.
It's not important, but at least they're making progress.
No, it's fun to obviously go through that. It is bizarre we haven't even seen like a true mock-up of it though. Normally, yeah.
Kelsey
at least
said he's seen it and said, "Look good, thumbs up."
I'm sure it's going to be an incredible ring. I'm first Super Bowl in 50 years. I'm sure that the ring is going to be absolutely incredible. And we do remember 2015 with the Royal fans could buy those replicas. So yeah, and when they do, it'll be interesting. Everything's been different. It's pushed back. We know the home opener, we're still not sure if there's going to be fans, and so like even the banner unveiling, how different is that going to be?
Sure.
There's a lot of things that unfortunately you didn't have the normal full-on celebration. Thank goodness we got that parade in.
Still have the
thank goodness.
Still have the Super Bowl though, so I'm
thank
good.
Goodness we got that parade though, and like in the celebration and everything like that. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 30 minutes, you'll hear more from what Andy Reid, Tyrann Mathieu, and Travis Kelce had to say, not only about the Travis Kelce contract, but just how they're able to take care of everybody. It was Patrick Mahomes first. It was then Chris Jones. And then the latest, of course, Travis Kelce in securing this window for the next couple of years, past just 2 years, but really maybe 3-4 plus years. But how are they doing it financially, I think, is what a lot of people have been trying to figure out as well. And here momentarily, we'll be joined by Joel Corey, former NFL agent and current cap expert for CBS Sports, because other fans at least of teams are looking at the Chiefs and saying, how on earth are they capable of doing that? Well, let's talk to someone that absolutely would know how they're capable of doing this. Let's talk to Joel Corey. He joins us here on 610 Sports Radio. Joel, always good to have you on the show. And let's just start with the extension for Kelce. 4 years, $57 million. We know earlier in the day, Kittle had his deal done and reported. What did you make of the numbers and where the tight end market has gone?
Well, I expected Kittle to dramatically reset the market. I know some people were saying that he could get upwards to $17 million per year and be paid like a wide receiver. I never saw that happening because it's hard to transcend your position or get a team to buy off on that unless you're a pass rusher. It doesn't matter what position you pay if you play, if you rush the passer, whether you're a 4-3 in, 3-4 outside linebacker, interior guy, as you saw with Chris Jones. I'd also heard rumblings that Kelce was having negotiations, but I didn't know how close they were to getting a deal done. So I guess having Kittle redefine the market, that made it easier for Kelce to get a deal done.
Well, and I guess that's the numbers we're trying to figure out is we talked about the comparisons. If to jump the market that much, that'd be like the next wide receiver contract being $33 million. Are these guys more the exception, Joel, or the rule? We talked about that with Mahomes' deal as being, hey, it's going to take a while before people catch up to this contract versus the one upsmanship that seemingly happens at other position, wide receiver, defensive end, corner. Is this more of an exception than the rule, or should we expect, you know, Zach Ertz's contract to surpass this $15 million Kittle got?
Ertz will be in the same ballpark as these two, but the market had been stagnant. In 2014, Jimmy Graham became the first $10 million per year tight end, and just this year, 6 years later, Austin Hooper got to 10.5 in free agency, so this was long overdue. So this is really just a market correction. I can't really see Mark Andrews topping these guys. The guy who's going to reap the benefit if he's healthy and plays well is Hunter Henry. He's not going to top these guys, but he's going to get a lot more now that he's deals in the marketplace than if he'd done a deal this year instead of playing on the franchise tag. It probably would have been in the same neighborhood as Austin Hooper's deal.
Do you think it was worth it? Like, from a tight end perspective, when he gets the kind of output that Travis Kelce does, like you said, if you rush the passer, you get that. So if Travis Kelce is a 1,200-yard receiver, he's worth the $15 million, right?
Well, here's how I'm looking at it. The cap's gone up 49% since Jimmy Graham did his deal. If you adjust it for cap inflation, the deal averages 14.9. So this is really putting these tight ends about where they're supposed to be. If you're going to have a $15 million per year tight end, then you can make a great case that it could be Travis Kelce instead of George Kittle. He's the only guy with four straight 1,000-yard receiving years as a tight end in NFL history.
Talking with Joel Corey, former NFL agent, current cap expert over at CBS Sports. And I think people are looking at all these deals the Chiefs have done, Joel, this offseason, Mahomes and Chris Jones and now Travis Kelce, and saying, like, how are they pulling this off? How are the Chiefs able to do this, Joel, and keep the cap straight?
Well, in this particular case, this is an extremely team-friendly deal. Honestly, this is not a deal. If I represented Travis Kelce, he would have been signing because structurally I don't like it at all. He's getting no new money this year, zero. Same $9.25 million he was going to make. Had 2 years left on his contract. The new money through the remaining years of the contract, $4.25 million. That's extremely low. And also, there's no bonus proration in the deal. He's got a $7 million roster bonus next year, which isn't prorated. So this is really a pay-as-you-go contract. In 2023, You can exit the deal with no cap ramifications if Kelce starts to decline. Plus, this is very backloaded. In what I call a neutral deal, after the first new year, you should have 25% of your money. After the second year, 50%. After the third year, 75%. That's just being neutral. And typically, these high-end deals are slanted a little more percentage-wise in favor of the player. Kelce's at 20.5% after the first new year, 43.7% after the second new year, and just under 7% after the third new year. You could not get me to buy off on a deal like this or recommend it to a player. Now, the only way I could see it getting done, since the agent works for the player, you had a player that was very anxious to get a deal done, and the agent's marching orders were, I don't want to go into when padded practice started on the 16th without a new contract, and you had a deadline trying to get something done. The agent community is going to rip this deal.
Well, and that's what happened a little bit with the Patrick Mahomes deal. They got ripped a little bit for how that worked, like the agent community.
Like this one's going to get ripped. Not like this one. You can't use this in recruiting. This will be used against you in recruiting.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. We feel like the way Chris Jones structured his deal. No new money, no signing bonus money when he signed his extension. Mahomes worked a certain way. Kelsey's even like to a further extreme is what you're talking about here, Joel. At some point, it starts to feel like the Chiefs players are all in on this together. This is really uncommon to watch this many guys finagle their money in order to help the team, right?
Yeah, well, Jones got a market rate deal. He was sure going to make $16 million this year, and I look at it from the standpoint that the tag number is just a placeholder for a long-term deal because that was the original intent of a franchise tag. So I view that a little bit differently. It's smart for the Chiefs to structure deals in a pay-as-you-go manner where you don't have a signing bonus and the cap and cast numbers are the same. Tampa's been doing that for years. The Raiders are doing it under Reggie McKenzie. It's the smartest way to manage the cap. Mahomes, I understand what he was doing. He's trying to, this is his version of Tom Brady. But he's got lifetime security because of the way the guarantees, roster bonuses sure are structured where they vest a year early. But here in Kelsey's case, in 2022, there's a small guarantee at $2 million, and it vests in 2022. It should be vesting in 2021. It's got to vest early. Structurally, this is a great deal for the Chiefs. Hats off to the Chiefs for being able to keep their core together and make a run for the next 2-3 years. But from a player standpoint, this deal in particular is deficient.
At what point, Joel, like you and I have had these conversations before, and you're like, hey, just as long as the cap keeps going up, no team will be in trouble. It goes up the normal amount it's been going up, $10 million a year, there'll be no trouble. Next year's cap could go down. How in trouble do you think the Chiefs are versus comparable to other teams across the league in that, if that is to occur?
No, Chiefs are going to be fine. The teams which have the most trouble are the ones that have been kicking the can down the road, expecting the cap to go up. It was projected to be conservatively $210 million if we didn't have COVID-19. But you got a team like the Eagles, they're in major trouble. They have $267 million of cap commitments for 2021 already. They're going to have a decent amount of money to carry over for next year, but still, if you're talking 175 is the floor, which is putting the cap back to 2018 levels, basically, and those are your cap commitments, Howie Roseman has been a magician with the salary cap, but he's going to have to be Harry Houdini in order to figure that out. And the Saints are one of those chief offenders that kicking the can down the road, and it's going to come back to bite them because of the second most cap commitments. And they have about 7 to 8 million in cap room right now. They're under the cap, so they're not going to have much to carry over. They're going to have to hope that the revenues are going to be higher than anticipated, or maybe you're playing on a Friday night, Saturday night, and with the two of the major Power 5 conferences not right playing football, that's going to generate more revenue, and the cap's not going to drop as much as the floor is, and it's going to be somewhere closer to the current level of $198.2 million, because if it's near 175, those teams in particular are going to have a lot of trouble. Atlanta's not far behind, but those are the teams that are really going to have problems.
That's Joel Corey, former NFL agent, current cap expert over at CBS Sports. Always appreciate the insight.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Interesting from
crushing Joel. Crushing the Kelsey deal on an agent.
So from the player's side and the agent side, he feels like the Chiefs got a fantastic deal for Kelsey just in terms of how he described it, the way it was specifically structured in terms of too much of the money in his mind from a player perspective came too late, that the vested money should have been by year two, it should have been at a certain percentage and broke that down. So if you are like the Chiefs, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're worried about like long-term cap problems, you come out of hearing what Joel said there and
feeling real good.
Pretty good. Now, I think we do know what's at play too within, like, as he said, there's a chance that Kelsey said to his agent that I don't want to deal with this once camp starts. I want this thing done by the time full padded practice happens. Maybe that was the case.
I think some of it is the Mahomes effect.
And some of it
I'm just
going
to be honest.
And some of it's what we talked about to start the show too, though, just how unique this is right now where Mahomes was flexible in how they structure. He was willing to be flexible. Chris Jones, he was willing to be flexible.
Kelsey.
Clearly Kelsey flexible. So I think it's just such a unique spot, but this is not, it's just not normal, and it makes you feel really good as a Chiefs fan if you hear what Joel Corey just said, where it's like, man, the Chiefs are getting good deals out of all three of these you know, star players and key core players.
He's like, look, the Mahomes deal's good, but he's still going to get so much money, right? So it's okay. He's like, the Chris Jones, at least he got market value, even though he's not getting any new money this year, which had been close to that. So it's a good deal for the Chiefs, but fine. He's like, and then the Kelce deal's a steal. Like, he was just like, the agent community is going to be mad at Travis Kelce for taking this deal. And that's usually a pretty good, because if you remember, there was an article by Peter King, I think, at the time, where he had spoken to several agents across, and that was kind of the feeling of the Mahomes deal. There were like six agents that were quoted that were like, man, what the hell? He's supposed to get maximum dollar. We're agents, they're players. The player associate, like, we want them to get the biggest dollar amount they're capable of getting. And while Kansas City's, everyone's getting paid. Travis Kelce is going to be one of the highest paid tight ends in the league. Chris Jones is one of the highest paid defensive tackles in the league, defensive players in the league. You know,
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, the highest paid player in the NFL. And yet still you come out of that being like, not bad, Chiefs did overpay. That's a difficult thing to do with three big long-term contracts.
Even went as far to say that the agent community is going to use this against that agent in terms of recruiting players to join, you know, to sign an agent deal with them. Like, it's not just crushing it, but like, so he views it as such a bad deal essentially for the agent that there will be other agent sports agencies out there that when it comes to recruiting college players or whoever, that they're going to point to this deal and see, that's the type of deal that they just signed. You don't want that.
I know, that's, but that's hard to imagine just because.
Well, it's recruiting. You know that. Agents compete with each other to try to get a client.
But they have
guys switch to different firms all the time.
Yeah, the agency stuff too, but it's never going to affect the Chiefs on that.
No. I'm just
like, as an agency, you'd be like, man, I'm not going there.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. It's great news for the Chiefs, again, to speak to what the deal is. But I just thought that was just interesting from a player and just future, like, just to give you an idea.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah, to give you an idea of where the
like, if you're a free agent tight end, you're like, when you want to take his agent, he just gave them a steal of a deal.
Yeah, it sounds like that's what's going to be used.
Like, that's what he wants.
Well, I instantly feel a hell of a lot. Not that I felt bad about the job, but you got to feel even better.
Warm your heart, didn't
it? He's like, Chiefs, again, they're creating some magic in what has been an unbelievable offseason. And they're doing all this during a pandemic.
Yeah, I still think he sees a majority of the back end of that contract, which is obviously what Kelce is banking on in this scenario.
Sure. There is the opt out, but I mean, do any of us think they're going to opt out if assuming he's healthy after 3 years? No. And so there is an opt out in 2023, but that seems, if health is on his side, and to this point, as we've highlighted, there's no reason to believe he won't be healthy, then that hopefully won't even be a problem.
No, I'm not even like, and that's what it's a lot of that banking on themselves stuff. And normally you wouldn't tell a player to do that. Yeah, I mean, you might want to do that as a player, and sometimes you do have to, right? Like, Sammy Watkins eventually has to buy in on himself because his options are, you know, don't buy into yourself or find a different team to go do it for. That's not where it was coming for Travis Kelce. He didn't have to bank on himself. He could have just taken the money to the bank and then solved it from there.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, you'll hear from Andy Reid, Tyrann Mathieu, and Travis Kelce just about how they've put together these deals and also just moving forward through COVID times and the first full padded practice for the Chiefs out at their facility today. We'll also have another random question of the day.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, coming up in 30 minutes at 1 o'clock, our weekly conversation with Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, and the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride. And a reminder that our training camp coverage brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. So you heard from Joel Corey, very interesting comments. We'll get back to that in the 1 o'clock hour with Pete and get his thoughts on what Joel had to say too, just about the Kelce contract and very team-friendly contract in Joel Corey's opinion that the Chiefs were able to sign Kelce to on that 4-year extension. And earlier today, and you heard it here on 610, your official Chiefs radio partner, that's where you'll hear all of your exclusive interviews, including with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, plus all the live press conferences. And of course, the games are going to be on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf. And Andy Reid earlier during our show was talking about, yes, the Travis Kelce extension as well, but also just how they've been preparing for a repeat in this current environment with the first full day of padded practices wrapping up.
There's a tremendous amount of urgency that goes into that and attention to detail. You hear coaches say this, but it's real if you want to play at that level. And there are a bunch of different things, obstacles that you have to go through during a season. I think it's no more evident than the one we just had. And so you've got to have the right mindset, and you literally have to take today and work on it to try to get myself better. And do it each play, and then do it tomorrow. And then you keep building that until you have opportunities to play games. And when you get into games, whether you win or lose, you've got to make sure that you learn and continue to grow from those games. And then on top of that, every once in a while, you need to catch a break here or there. That ball's not round. It bounces funny. And, you know, you hope it bounces your way and you get a couple breaks in there. But the attention and detail becomes a huge thing for you and be willing to work.
You also talked a lot about how do you keep that edge? Also, do you do some research on other teams that have been able to go back to back? And he did reference a little bit later on, and I think it was his follow up question, or at least the answer that he gave, just going back to he had, you know, been to two Super Bowls, had won one, just in terms of even going back to as a player and being on staffs and things like that. Just what that experience taught him, because you know that we've gone through the chance of going back to back and repeating in the challenge just on a normal off season, and how much more difficult it might even be this year.
Sure. The question is why do teams lose the edge? You know, that's what they inevitably, you know,
yeah.
Why are we going to be different? Why do teams lose the edge? Why do teams lose that fire, that competitiveness? What do we think? Carson Wentz just isn't trying hard. Like, is that the case? I think that the good news is for Kansas City is I know that most teams would probably say this about themselves, but they do have some hyper-competitive individuals. And that's obvious based on just the results they've had over the course of time. Tyrann Mathieu's had that.
He's at the very top of the list.
Reputation from middle school to high school to college to the pros. That's been the type of player he is. So I don't worry about that. Patrick Mahomes, we watch him out here like playing beer pong with Post Malone after the Super Bowl, and he's still trying to win that. So we know he's that type of guy. But I think in Travis Kelce's case and some of these other guys in Chris Jones, we haven't seen them ever take that slip back, step back moment where you might wonder. And they've never been the, like, take plays off guy. You know, like, even going back to college, it's not like Chris Jones was like, well, you know, sometimes he takes plays off. That was Albert Haynesworth, right? Like, Albert Haynesworth just dominate and just wouldn't show up a couple of times. Why the hell didn't he show up a couple of times? None of those guys have had that reputation. I still think it'll be difficult to monitor. Because it's like they don't even have the thing to get themselves up for the normal circumstance. Like, there's no game to get yourself up for before it's the regular season. So that part of it, I do think will be difficult. The thing that excites me is like when they say things, you know, when Tyrann Mathieu openly admits that defenses are going to be behind offenses, and that's going to be more difficult. So even if they start a little bit less on the gas, if it's offense ahead of defense, who the hell is that benefit in the NFL if not the Chiefs?
Yeah, every team's going to have to deal with it. But if that's going to be the biggest factor in terms of what you may see because of the offseason, if it's a slower start for every defense, yeah, you're gonna still feel pretty darn good about where you're at if you're Kansas City. And I even feel even better when you hear Tedrick Thompson talking about his experience and relationship and getting to know Tyrann Mathieu, someone he looked up to. But what he said was he was just trying to himself, whether it was, you know, the first day that he was able to get in the facility, Tedrick Thompson, that is. And he said, you know, he was going to the film room just trying to get his bearings. It's like anybody would do in any workplace. It's your first day. You're going to show up a little bit early. He does that. And he still wasn't early enough to get there before Tyrann Mathieu was. Like, Tyrann Mathieu was already in there watching film. Like, the edge, and this goes with contracts. When guys get paid, everybody tries to think
sometimes
about.
Sometimes that's when you assume.
Do you lose the edge?
And that does happen. That doesn't.
It absolutely is a valid point to bring up because it does. There are examples of that happening. But man, we'll see it in action here in less than a month. But everything you hear from these guys and the accountability, it seems like they each hold each other too. Like, that's not something that I'm all that concerned about. Whether it's Chris Jones, you know, Chris Jones got paid. Where's that? I'm not worried about the edge being lost from any of these guys whatsoever.
No, I'm not.
Off of a Super Bowl and or a contract extension.
No, normally, you do have to have those conversations. And I guess we could rank them in order if you wanted, if guys were concerned who got offseason money. But it's
not really concerned about any of them.
The other part of that is that Andy Reid's team, not until the bitter end of this, had a hangover season. And I can't ignore that, Gold. I mean, for all the teams that have hangover seasons after losing Super Bowls, for all the teams who have hangover seasons after trying to get to Super Bowls, he took his team to four consecutive NFC title games. Yes, did eventually the team fall off? Yeah, that's how teams work. They can't be competitive forever, but they didn't have this like, oh no, what happened to them? They stayed near the top of their game the entire year. You know where else you can have hangover seasons? After you win divisions, after you get first place schedules. And even before Patrick Mahomes got here, Andy didn't have any of those either. All they have done in Kansas City his entire time is consistently won. Now they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm not going to assume they're not going to consistently win. Can they run into a problem that prevents them from winning a Super Bowl this year? Sure. But is that going to stop them from winning the division, being one of the top seeds in the AFC, being in line for a Super Bowl championship? Absolutely not, because no evidence in Andy Reid's entire career is pointed towards that.
I actually believe this bizarre offseason that's been strange for everybody and in the adjustment to living with COVID and adjusting to life. I actually think that is in a way why I'm even less concerned about the focus or the edge. I think that's a motivating factor for they haven't had as much of the distraction of the offseason because everybody has been so keyed in on this because of COVID and like the serious nature of it and the distractions that may or may not have existed coming off of the Super Bowl. That actually might be a way to even keep you more focused in gunning for your second consecutive Super Bowl title and being able to run it back. And Kelce, during his press conference Zoom call today, he was wearing a run it back t-shirt. It's a great run it back t-shirt. These guys, I'm not worried whatsoever when it comes like the focus. And I actually think this offseason with COVID perhaps in a way could be a something that they are able to rally around and can help them going forward.
Well, and for this year, sure. And again, I just don't like other teams have avoided the pitfalls where some fall into it. And I think a lot of times like leadership comes into that, but mostly it's just like convincing yourself that it's actually worth the work, you know? Like, am I going to work hard enough that this actually justifies the ends? And I feel like they have done the things right to do that. Like, they have seemingly taken care of themselves to do that. Now, the other challenge will be, what do you do now in a season in which you're not going to play any preseason games? You're not going to be ready. Tyrann Mathieu talked a little bit about it, like getting ready for that physicality because it's going to be such a weird year.
Nobody works as hard as the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll tell you that right now. I say that in a good way. We strain a lot. It's a lot that's on our plate. A lot of our playbook is already in. A lot of those calls are up. So, you know, not only do we have to strain physically, but it's a mental strain. It's a mental grind. And that's what I try to tell the rookies, you know, to obviously not overwhelm themselves. Just try to find a way to fall in love with the grind, fall in love with the process. I think our coaches do a great job of not putting too much pressure on us, allowing us to go out there, you know, with less on our mental, so that way we are able to physically strain ourselves each and every play. But you know, it's my third organization. I don't think anybody works as hard as Andy Reid.
Talking about the camps, how many times have we heard that going back?
Oh, I mean, Tedrick about, said that today too.
Yeah, Tedrick Thompson, who's been in a Seahawks camp before. That was one of the first comments he made today, and first comments we had ever heard from Tedrick. And he made the observation and made sure people realize just how challenging of a camp. But that's something, man. People have heard that you hear that consistently. Whoever one of the newer guys is, that's one of the first things you'll hear from them is like, yeah, this camp just feels different. So Andy Reid, it's a tough camp.
It's a tempo. They don't mess around.
Yeah. Which
well,
is
good.
Saying that's something even more so now because of all the different CBA rules that make it even tougher to be able to do that with the way that the camp structure is set up. But again, reminder that all of our training camp coverage is brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Let's get to that random question of the day.
Random question.
Sir, you mentioned earlier the spat between Greg Williams and Pete Carroll over Jamal Adams and, you know, Greg Williams saying, oh, you'll never find anyone better than me, essentially. And Pete Carroll saying, well, I'm sure he's probably just glad to be away from you. And it doesn't have to be relationship-wise, but then I just, you know, starting to think about moments of pettiness. So my question today for you in the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 913-576-7610 is, when in life can you recently remember, or even in the past, a moment in which you were extremely petty over something?
Wow.
So I'm looking for extreme moments of pettiness from you. 913-576-7610. And you, obviously, Golden, you, Serta.
Yeah, because the great Williams, Pete Carroll back, I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think they can keep this going for a while, especially since, as Serta pointed out, they play each other this year. They're on the schedule. So that's going to be fantastic. Wow. So an incident where I felt like I was petty. There's so many times where I feel like you're petty and you just don't even know it. So it's, there's plenty of others. There's one that comes to mind. I actually go back to college and I've brought up the college roommate a couple times, I feel like, on this show.
You really
as well.
Didn't like your college roommate.
Yeah. I mean, just putting him on blast. Absolutely. But this was one, this had to do with some alcohol theft in the dorms. This is freshman year. And
you're not supposed to have alcohol in the dorms.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Not supposed to do that whatsoever. And so it was one of those weekends, I think, where Matt might have gone home on that Saturday or something just during the day, or I, you know, whether it was a holiday, I don't know, whatever reason I was going home. And I would leave the alcohol hidden in the closet in the dorm. And it was some, you know, just the good quality stuff like Admiral Nelson, you know, the high dollar Admiral Nelson type of stuff. I'm sure Cody still drinks Admiral Nelson because it's just the top of the line type of stuff. Well, so I would leave, and this would happen a couple times, Cody, and I would leave it in there, and then I'd come back and the bottle would be empty and the roommate would be like, sorry, man, I'll get you back. Well, he never would pay me back for the rum. And in college, you know, at that point, I didn't have
a job.
It was hard to get a hand, you know, your hands on a bottle of some booze. At least a little trickier.
Was it? I mean, it was college.
It was trickier, at least freshman year.
Harder than now, yeah, certainly.
Well, yes. Okay, so that happened a couple times. So then one time I finally said, I'm fed up, I'm done. And so then I knew I was leaving, and I left a bottle of Admiral Nelson, but I just filled it up with like a dark cola. And when it settled from far away, he just opens it. He thinks there's some in there. So I started doing that. And he never said anything, never commented on that. I don't know if
would
I was
some real... be gone?
Yeah, I wouldn't fill it up all the way. There'd be like a half left. So you would think that there was gold left. I don't know if he ever drank it, but he stopped. Let's put it this way. The next time I had the real bottle, he never touched it.
Oh, he definitely took
a sip. So he got the message.
He definitely took a sip and then did that. That's a bit petty.
You think it's petty, or is that, I think that's just a good response.
No, it's both petty and it's being non-confrontational. You obviously could have just said, hey, man, stop drinking my rum.
I did. I told you. You stole the food, too, and everything.
Stop drinking my rum.
I didn't want to.
That's what Serta, you would have been. Stop drinking my rum, man.
Yeah, that
just
wasn't,
stop drinking my rum.
That
that's
wasn't
my rum.
Working very well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we would have just fought.
What comes to mind for you then? What's something petty
me?
That you do?
I like to be petty all the time. I am non-confrontational just out of like pure habit non-confrontational. So like I do a lot of those little squabble things. I could remember particularly there was a time in college when, you know, there was someone who was near the group of people we were with just due to like class or those things, but obviously an annoyance, and like would try to go out with us a lot or we try to avoid it. And so in one of the times we couldn't avoid it because we knew he had plans, I may or may not have given him the wrong bar we were going to.
Oh.
And then he tried to call when he was at the wrong bar.
Yeah, you're just a jerk.
And then I was like, oh, God, so sorry. Forgot to tell you we're actually going to go to this bar. And then we left that bar and went to another. So maybe that probably qualifies.
That's just being a jerk. That's not being petty. That's just being a jerk.
Come on. Come on.
I think that, yeah, I think that's just more just being a jerk than anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Serta, where are you at on that? Because that's happened before, but I would just say, yeah, you're being an a-hole.
I mean, that might be, it could be both, can't it?
I don't think it's that bad.
See? He says it's fine. You got a moment of petty, Serta?
See, I don't really think, I've definitely been petty, but most of the time I'm just like, whatever. Like, I don't care that much about it to get up to waste time
to
being
waste time
upset
being
over it. But I did one time at the post office, like, you know, the post office, you walk in, there's always like that big counter in the middle, and then you go up to the actual one where you like talk to the person. I was trying to mail a few things, and I was standing on one side of the table, and this dude walked in like 5-10 minutes after I'd already been there waiting in line. And when it was my turn, I walked up and the guy was like, hey, buddy, line starts over here. And I was like, I've been here for 15 minutes, dude. Like, back up. And the lady at the counter was like, yeah, he's been waiting here for a long time. And so the guy was like, oh, my bad. And so I was angry because I thought that guy was being douchey. And so I was just like, can I actually see like all the different kinds of stamps that you guys have? And she was like, oh, I got to go in the back and find them.
You're looking
at
the specialty stamps?
I was like, that's fine. Take your time. And so I was intentionally trying to take forever because that dude annoyed me. And so I was asking like about all the different kinds of stamps. And then she gave me like this book of stamps. And I'm sitting there like flipping through it. Like, oh yeah. Like I really like these Marvin Gaye ones. I bought the Marvin Gaye ones. Actually, I purchased the stamps.
At least you ended up buying something, I guess, but
that completes it.
That's super petty.
They're still in my backpack. I've used them several times.
From the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line 913-576-7610 from the 816. Broke up with my girlfriend, still grabbed the Monopoly board on the way out of there. Petty would have almost been like, taking the board or taking
just
the
take
pieces?
Take the pieces, yeah.
Take the pieces, take, but leave
yeah,
the board.
Yeah, definitely take the pieces and from, leave the board.
From the 913, whenever my wife and I argue the next morning, sometimes I pour out the coffee in the pot so she has to, so she doesn't get it. Ooh. Has to make her own. What? It's not like a real problem. She doesn't know you poured it out. It's just being petty to slightly inconvenience somebody. Wait, you think these things don't happen? Do you think that pettiness is only for relationships in which marriage isn't involved? I got some.
Someone else said today when I told my wife to quit leaving the toilet seat down.
Was that being petty?
That's what I said. I don't know if that's really being petty. Unless that was, she normally tells you that, and you're like, well, the one time she did it, I'm going to make sure I point it out to her.
I tried to have a moment of pettiness here, but the problem got solved before. We came back from, we were hosting at my house, and we came back, there was a lot of pins left from Carrington, and I got a box from downstairs and was going to ship them somewhere just to be like, look, here are your pins. That's obviously a moment of pettiness.
That
and I have
see,
no
that,
regrets
that
about
would
it.
Be that would have been way more on the passive aggressive end of it, where you're like,
probably.
Instead of just going and telling him directly to his face that it kind of goes back to, I guess we were talking even with the alcohol. Instead of just going and say, here you go, Carrington, you're like,
clearly.
I'm just gonna mail it to him.
Oh yeah. No, clearly I should have just addressed
it. Oh, this one,
it.
Someone
but I told you, I'm no different.
From the 816, freshman year of college, molded a chocolate laxative bar into the shape of a Hershey Kiss. Gave it to a guy with irritable bowel syndrome because he was an insufferable a-hole. See, the problem with that is you're talking about like messing with somebody's like actual health. That's taking it to a whole other level. Going to the chocolate laxative bar and you know, disguising it as a Hershey Kiss.
That's borderline concerning, sir.
And that might have taken care of my problem with my roommate as well at the time.
Yeah, but you were going to have
like
to
that.
Live with them in a yeah. small room in which you shared a toilet, presumably?
No, that's not how the dorms work.
Man, I don't know how dorms work. I never
lived in a
dorm.
And then there's the hallway, and then there's the shared
bathroom. You're trying to tell me there's
the
no dorms
bathroom.
That have their own bathroom?
I mean,
is that not how this works?
Some of the nicer ones, maybe. Certainly wasn't mine. Not McCollum Hall that was torn down shortly
okay,
after.
Not yours. But either way, you do still have to share the restroom
this is
in
a, good
a
call.
Way with that person.
This
so.
Is a good call. Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. So, all right, well, that's the random question of the day. You can keep them coming in there. 913-576-7610. We'll talk to Pete Sweeney, our Chiefs insider, coming up in about 12 minutes as he joins us for his weekly visit. We know the Royals are in action again tonight. They're in Minneapolis. A four-game series gets going. It was going to be Jacob Junis getting the start, but we learned from Mike Matheny earlier today. He made the announcement that Ian Kennedy will be the opener. So two innings, hopefully, out of Ian Kennedy tonight against the Twins team that has no problem hitting home runs. And the problem for Ian Kennedy has been giving up the long ball, so something's got to. We'll see if something gives here at all between the two. I understand the thought behind it because they want to get him some confidence. That was what Mike Matheny told Fesco in the morning yesterday when he joined him for his weekly/daily visit now, which has been fun.
Anytime it's a win, right?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's fantastic. So, yeah, let's see if he has a strong outing tonight, maybe get the confidence up as we approach, 2 weeks from now also is a trade deadline. You alluded to like, what are the options here for Ian Kennedy and for the Royals at this point? I think he's still the highest paid player, even in a prorated season and all that, where I don't think you just cut bait with him.
This is
the
only chance you have to move. He's not going to be here long-term. I like Ian Kennedy. He's done some good things for Kansas City, but he came at a bad time and he hasn't lived up to the very expensive contract that he's paid. But the only chance for you to get the value out of it at this point is to actually give him a shot. And the best, and look, I know that like that might seem like more leverage, but that's a much more common place for him to be, isn't it? And it's harder for him to lose you the game. I got to be honest. Like, if he gives up two solo shots in the first two innings and you're down 2-0, it's the second inning.
Now you've got time to make up for it. Versus,
you do. Yeah. And that's why those openers with relievers, they're maybe a little less consistent. Now, I would have preferred. Now, it's a home run heavy team in Minnesota in a ballpark where the ball travels pretty good. So it's not exactly, I don't feel warm.
Luckily, you're asking to get one time through the order.
Absolutely.
You
know what I mean? Like, and they're going to put Junis in two times after that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're, it's...
Just give you one time through the order. That's all we're asking for.
I like
for
the
here.
Idea. I'm hoping that Mike Matheny's early season magic touch, since Mondesi's been moved down in the order, and sometimes he's hitting 8, sometimes hitting 7 since he's been moved down. He's hitting like 330. Salvador Perez has really succeeded. They've moved a lot of other pitchers around in good positions. Like, I'm hoping the magic touch continues, and this is the thing to get Ian Kennedy going. But as of right now, he can't really be your answer in late inning situations, but it doesn't matter because they have Staumont, and obviously Rosenthal,
Barlow,
Barlow.
Yep.
They found plenty of guys at the back end of that thing that make them look very good.
We'll see if Mike Matheny can continue to keep pushing all the right buttons. He certainly has to this point in time. Royals baseball, a little after 7 o'clock tonight. Vern's pregame gets going at 6 here on 610.
Last minute. Damian Lillard has been absolutely unbelievable the last three regular season games as the NBA bubble gets ready for the postseason. He's the first player in NBA history to end a regular season with three consecutive 40-point games. In the first ever NBA postseason playing game, Portland versus Memphis for the number 8 seed is on Saturday. Damian Lillard has 154 points over his last three games.
It has been awesome. I'm a big Damian Lillard fan anyway, but like he has been incredible.
Dame's been crazy.
He has been incredible. And then again, another one of those shots from the logo last night, and the Trailblazers get into the play-in game, and like it's they had to win. I mean, they had to win these games, and they stepped up in the biggest moments. And they were down entering the fourth quarter last night, but you still had like he's intense, man. He's as intense as anybody out on that basketball court, and it's fun to watch. You remember the playoffs a year ago too, where he knocked OKC. Was that a year ago? Has it been 2 years now? I think it was a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
That's and like right. That, like that shot, and like that, he's had some fun playoff moments. Unfortunately for him, and I guess it hasn't been the playoffs yet. For him, he just had, you know, he's been on a team as well. They haven't made the deep, deep run and hasn't had a chance to play in the NBA Finals, but he's a hell of a basketball player.
Am I allowed to, at this point now, complain that they invited the Suns to the bubble, who then went 8-0 and don't even get into the play-in game?
Yeah.
Like, I know they needed help, but damn. What was the point? Like, if going 8-0 in that wasn't even going to get you a single playoff game or a play-in game, what's the point?
Yeah, that's been the argument from a lot of people, and I think it's fitting.
It's like, well, they needed help, and they had a statistical chance, but they didn't quite get there. I'm like, they went 8-0.
Yeah, I mean, there's 70, as we know, there's 70 other, 70 plus other games that were played earlier, and they were a bad basketball team. But yes, it's like you did everything you possibly could in the bubble. You're 8-0, and you didn't get in. But that's
sucks.
They still wanted to have the teams. It is unfortunate, but that shows you that you go, every game earlier in the season, if you win one of those games early in the season, we're talking about a different scenario.
Which superstar group is Devin Booker eventually going to hook up with? Because it's sure as hell not going to be in Phoenix.
It's not going to be in Phoenix.
The Nets? It's going to go to that Durant group?
Nets.
Hopefully he's going to go to Portland.
Yeah, there we go. Booker and Dame?
I don't see it. Again, for Dame's sake, I would love that. I mean, Damian Lillard deserves to have a team that has a legit chance to win a championship. This year's team still doesn't have a legit. They're fun to watch. They're not winning a championship, obviously.
No, but he has gone full, like...
He's great. He's fantastic, man.
Beast mode since this begun. It's been a lot of fun
and
to watch.
His story is awesome, too. Like, small college, out of Weber State. Like, it's awesome. It's fun to watch. No doubt about that. The NBA has been fantastic, and now the play-in games will get going coming up this weekend, and the series are all set with that. Coming up next, we do head into the 1 o'clock hour. Get back to the Chiefs with our Chiefs insider from Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.